From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, September 6th, first Friday, and I'm your host, Andy Klein, Gunashish, and thank you for joining the conversation on today's show. If you've ever been interested in TV production, Juno Live might be just the workshop you're looking for now for families and adults. A Cure for CADE walkathon is coming up. It's helping a youngster in Juno to get the funds for a cure to an extremely rare condition. Mudrooms is back with a new format that will help you hone your storytelling skills. And for First Friday, we're going to hear from Pickles and Onions. That's right. That's from artists Christine Carpenter and Hollis Kitchen. Those conversations are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. In the weather, rain tomorrow, then there might be a break in the weather Sunday afternoon through Monday night, then cloudy on Tuesday and back to rain midweek. It's fall. You get the picture.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Kliné Di have stewarded this land for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands and now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host for today, Andy Klein, listening to a little of Juno's own whiskey class there in the background. Well, the Juno Studio TV is back, but this time for families and adults. And Brad Perkins, the producer of Juno Live, is here, as well as Pastor Karen Perkins from the Resurrection Lutheran Church. And thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
What a cool program this has been. And we've talked about it before when it's been sort of almost a camp kind of an idea. But I'm gathering. So popular that people are saying, hey, I want to learn too.
Exactly.
Adults and families together.
Well, we had a camp and then we had the charter school say, can you do a semester long course on it? And so we have the experience doing that. And the more we encounter and fabulous, fabulous bands that volunteer to participate and help and fabulous professionals that volunteer to
teach.
Well,
tell me a little bit about that. So you had, because I know about the camp piece, but then you had this, you actually did this with charter school for a full semester and did like recording of music? Is that what you were doing?
Well, so this course we've been doing now 3 years, and this is now the fourth year. And the format of the course is that whoever participates in the course, it's a 15-hour curriculum. And we did the camp format, but it always culminates in the whoever's in the course. They form a television production company. And at the end, they produce their own show. It typically is a concert, a rock concert. And so we get bands and local bands want to participate in it. If we do the little kids, because we started doing that over a year ago, they do a talk cooking show.
Oh,
which
cool.
is really cool. But last spring, the community charter school suddenly lost their music teacher and came to us and said, can you run that camp, that 1 week camp as a semester long course for two classes of middle school? And we said, I think we could do that. So we did that.
Sure. Okay.
It's already broken up into segments, particular segments. And so it was just sort of reworking a little bit how that was coordinated.
Yeah. It was a good test for us.
Yeah.
It was a good test for us because we've had actually inquiries from around the country about this because there isn't a lot of people that actually teach this at a non-college level. So we ran that. It worked really well. And then we had parents and other people in the community say, you know, I'd like to learn that too. Have you ever thought about running it for adults? And we said, you know, that's an interesting idea. So this fall, we decided we'd try to run it this fall. And so we're starting next Tuesday on September 17th. We're going to run Tuesday night from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock all the way through December 17th. And that course is going to culminate on December 20th with another Alaska Music One. Keith Child Store is always the sponsor of these things. And it's going to be a holiday concert because it happens in December. Already have bands signing up saying, saying that they want to be on that bill. And so it's for adults and families. And so we are going to charge tuition.
We're not specific about how we define family. So whatever you define your family as.
Right. Yeah.
So we are going to charge tuition this time because so far it's always been under either a youth activity board grant. They've been great in funding for the camps. And then the school, the charter school, they put together the money. We don't need a lot of money, but there are makeup supplies and things like that. And then we have a little bit of the janitorial service at the church. So we're asking $100 per adult, families, the family members come free. And then we have scholarships for those who can't pay.
You know, yeah,
so
great.
A big deal for that. But it's going to be exciting, I think. And we, at 2 hours a night for Tuesdays, we can get the whole course in. And people in the course get to do a broadcast now and then to get their skills up. And then you'll at the end of it, everyone gets a certificate and you will know everything about how to do television production.
Do you break up the groups sort of like, so one group is doing, you know, running the board 1 week and the other one is running the camera 1 week? Is that how you kind of do it?
Everyone learns every skill.
Right.
And so that's the idea is that
We haven't done that so far, though. You've done the rotating kind of. That was a concept early on, but the numbers that we had and the way that people were interested, it just turned out better.
People just find what they're interested in and want to concentrate on that. Yeah.
And also we do a little bit of classroom style. And so in order to have people be attentive during the classroom style part, you know, we sit at tables for the first, you know, however many minutes of the class, and then we go work with the equipment.
Put it into practice.
Right. And then they can help each other as they learn how to do it. By the end, people usually are attracted to particular skills. And they say, well, for the show, I'd like to be floor manager. I'd like to be on sound. I'd like to
run the house.
As we talked about it before, what's interesting, too, is like set design and things like, you know, there's all these other things that go into it as well. Right. Putting on a show. And
we don't actually do the set design since I'm the one who teaches that one. Mostly it's because of it's the showrunners. And a lot of times in Juno, the artists are designing their own sets. But being aware of set design, being aware of lighting design, being aware of costumes and how that's going to move while you're making scene changes, set changes. How are you going to make the lighting changes in terms of dealing with what it is that's been created by the art designer, whoever it is?
Because it's interesting, like the way a TV production gets kind of divided up is part of it is you're just doing a show, like there's as if there's no cameras there in a way, like you have to manage that. Then there's that whole side of it about recording it in a way, and then the bringing that together, right? So that the show is amenable to the cameras and it all works, you know, well together.
Right. So what the students or the people that become the crew learn is they really become like a television production company. Like at Disney, they have all these television production companies that do shows, and they either do like one-offs or they get assigned a series or something. And the people come in that are doing the show and they work with them. And so the idea here is you get ready for, you know, some bands coming in, or if it's a talk cooking show, you get ready for that coming in. So they don't have to get involved. They're not the talent and that, but they do learn how to do that. So a big part of the thing is learning how to run the house, how to run craft service, how to run catering, how to work with, how to stage manage, you know, and all
how
those
to,
skills.
How to handle talent, which is, I'm sure, your expertise.
Sure, right.
You know, and so there's the technical
goes
side.
Better than others sometimes. Yeah, right.
Right,
but, exactly. Yeah.
And we have a lot of experience with that over the years. And a lot of us, and almost everyone that's an instructor has a lot of years of doing that. I mean, I started working with talent back when I was in college, and I've got my war stories and all that, but I've also run house and I've run, you know, stage and catering. And so people, they learn all that. They learn how to read movie credits. And so they, in television credits, you really learn the biz from the back of house sites.
Yeah.
This isn't the talent camp like at Perseverance where you learn talent and you learn some stagecraft. This is all back of house stuff.
Right.
You learn what it's like to be on the back of house side of doing all that. But it's really exciting by the end is you see they go up there and they can jump on a camera and put up a show, and we, you know, we'll run broadcasts. And so, boom, we're suddenly live on camera. And by the end, they'll have five or six shows under their belt, broadcasts under their belts before they do a big two and a half hour show.
And is that show, is that live cast on like YouTube or how does that?
Yeah. We have a YouTube channel. It's Juno Live on YouTube. You can go look at, we have hundreds of shows and thousands of hours of production. And we do all kinds of things, including, you know, many people do recitals there. We did the Stephen Kasich Memorial. You know, we do, and we broadcast the church service every week. We have lots of views of that, but we do all kinds of things out of there. And so we've been broadcasting now 5 years, you know, since the pandemic started. So there was just,
we really have had several goals with the start of the studio. One was to, starting during the pandemic, to just make connections between the community, that a lot of, so many people were isolated. And then we, there's so many performing artists in Juno who just weren't having an opportunity to perform. And then also the education piece. And we, I want to specify that we teach it to the level that, that people are ready to handle. And so we're not expecting anybody to come out being an expert, and there's always more to learn. And we have people repeat the course multiple times. We've also had people after repeating the course become mentors. So it's understanding that this is a this biz is a moving target, but also there's so much to learn. And you can, any one of these pieces you could spend a whole semester on.
We're
giving people an introduction to it. And in a world where so many people are doing video production and audio production, who doesn't need volunteers or people who have a little bit of training in how to handle a soundboard?
Yeah, right. Or something like that.
And if you take the course, you can then learn how to set up your own podcast studio or your own little studio at home. You're using a Blackmagic ATM device if you want to do that, and some lights, you can set all this up. We'll teach you how to do all that and how to set up your own YouTube channel. If that's your goal, we'll get you, we'll show you how to do all that. We use OBS, you know, but we have a, you know, a huge, we have a huge old Mackie 824 plus a 24 soundboard, and we have, you know, and we have eight floor cameras and a crane, and we, you know, we have, and we have a ton of lighting. So we have an active studio that's running all the time. So you come in there and every week you get to work in the studio. And we've taught all the way down to second graders who, by the end of the course, they're popping on cameras and they're white balancing those cameras and they're running the studio all the way up. You know, it'll be our first chance to teach some adults into the course.
And are there age limits that you have as far as that family?
No, we'll teach down to second grade.
Second grade.
If the parents are there, you know, that'll be great.
It would be a little challenging to have somebody that young by themselves, I think, with the same group. But we also, this will be our first time doing it. So, you know, as long as we can set up a situation that is safe and helpful for everybody, we don't have limits. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who have some experience in some piece of this and say, oh, I would really love to get involved in the course and learn these other pieces. Or I would love to take my experience and be able to contribute to more people learning about it. And those people come from all the walks of life that I've encountered in Juno,
which
is great as well. So no age limit and no specific family definition limit.
Well, if people are interested, how do they tell us how they can sign up, how they can find out more information, get a little bit more idea about it than just this short discussion?
Yeah. So the you can go to the same website we've always had, which is showrunnercamp.org. You can also go to the church website, which is rlcjuno.org, and there's information on there. That's also where you can register for it. And you also can go to my email, which is producer@junolive.org, and any of those ways to reach us. And you also can just show up at the first night of the camp and see what it's like.
Right.
And you know, and the money issue shouldn't be an issue. If it feels like, oh, I don't know if we can afford that, we'll find a way to make it work.
Well, it's
not a big deal on that. We just love to have people come in and do this. And it'll be
fun. And we just need a little bit to offset what what the grants have been covering.
Right. So, but we have an excited, the instructors are excited. This will be our first time of doing it without teachers because we've always been teaching kids. And so we've been, we fly in faculty. And so this one will be just the instructors, which like Keith Giles and Adam Gardner and David Brabaugh, who are the ones that always do the instructing, but we usually have teachers coming in for this course. But since it's going to be families and adults, we'll be doing it with just the instruction staff and our adult faculty. So it's going to be an exciting
Very experts, we might recruit you.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We always use experts on teaching the various skills. So.
Well, it sounds awesome. Again, it's the Juno Studio TV, Juno Live, and it's all about learning how to put on a television broadcast, learning how to do and all the different facets that involves, whether it's podcasting and things like that. You'll be able to find out about it. It starts September 17th. It goes to December. It starts September 17th. It goes to December 17th, and it's on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. If you're interested, contact the Resurrection Lutheran Church. You can email producer at junolive.org or you can call them at, what's the number one time?
808-782-5795 or go to the website, which is showrunnercamp.org.
Showrunnercamp.org. Well, thanks to both of you for coming in. It sounds like another great iteration of using that fantastic facility that you've developed and getting Juno to be one of the most literate places to produce television shows of any small town in America.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on Community Supported KTOO. That's a little bit of Whiskey Class, the Juno band. Joining me now, talking all about A Cure for Cade, are Cade's parents. It's Emma Jobsis and Dylan Jobsis, both here. Hi, both of you. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yes, you guys are talking. Well, you have a real challenge in your life. I mean, let's just start off and talk about it. Your son has an incredibly rare condition that is a degenerative condition. And you're, as any parent would do, you're scrambling to figure out what can we do? Yeah. And fortunately, there is a treatment that's out there. It's gene therapy. But tell me a little bit about the condition that Cade has. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool and fun events that people can get involved in to help support this. And all the community is coming together. I have friends at work that know you guys or know friends of friends. And there's people out signing up for walkathons and making hundreds, if not more, dollars. It's incredible. Really great community support. And that's been awesome to see. But tell me a little bit about the condition itself and then this therapy that's out there.
Sure. So our son, Cade, he was diagnosed, like you said, with this ultra rare genetic condition that is, it's called SPG50 or hereditary spastic paraplegia subtype.
50?
it's a whole mouthful.
Incredibly technical.
There's not really a catchy name for it, I guess.
Should probably come up with one.
Yeah, there's about 100 cases in the world.
Well, that's the thing that's so amazing. So I guess I'll back up. How did you figure out that was the diagnosis? I mean, that must have been a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah. So we went through the ringer to get a diagnosis for him. We started seeing delays at about 4 to 5 months old and went to doctor after doctor trying to find what was wrong. Everybody assured us that it's okay. He'll catch up. It's okay. Until about 17 months old that we really had to insist and say something is wrong and we need help. And we ended up doing genetic sequencing, whole genetic sequencing on Dylan, myself, and Cade to find the connection between the three of us. So Dylan and I are both carriers of a faulty gene and Cade unfortunately got both
and
genes.
That's the way that it in this wild.
Yep. So that gene for him just doesn't work.
One in a billion.
Yeah. For us, it's one in four.
Way more.
Yeah. Like for you, it's one in four.
Yeah. Because we both have the same bad copy that we never would have known otherwise.
Right. But
having a mutation in the specific gene is very, very rare. So there aren't many cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. So about 100 in the world. And
incredible.
So because there are so few cases, it's really falling on the families to push the science forward because treatment exists, but we have to push the science forward ourselves.
Yeah. So talk about that treatment that exists. What is that?
Well, because it's so rare. There's not a lot of like commercial interest, right, in these big companies, big pharmaceutical companies, in developing this treatment. But what the treatment would be is it's a one-time treatment. It's a gene therapy where they basically inject a virus into Cade's body that will, and the virus, instead of having the viral genome, it has a correct copy of the gene.
It sort of knits missing into the DNA in a way.
So it's giving him the right gene.
Wow.
It's just, it's incredible. It's amazing.
A miracle, right?
It's a miracle.
It's an incredible miracle.
Instead of the way you think of viruses like we do, of getting you sick, this is a virus that attacks his cells and gives him the correct copy of the gene that he's missing.
So that's the literal cure. It's sitting out there, and it's about $1 million away, right?
Oh, it's more than $1 million away.
But it's like,
it'll be $3 million by the time we're done.
So currently
we are working on raising $1 million. And that's so that the NIH will start treating kids. Like, we need them to start treating.
So what is that strategy when you're saying $1 million to get the National Institute of Health interest in this? What is that?
It's all very complicated. we've tried kind of coming up with a condensed way of explaining this, but basically there's a company called Elpida that with the National Institutes of Health has been running a clinical trial, and they need money to continue running the trial. We're just raising as much as we can to help them continue with the ongoing phases of this clinical trial.
And is your hope that Cade could be inserted into that clinical trial?
Yes. Yeah, right. And without the clinical trials, we can't get access to the drug. Currently exists. There's 8 doses ready to be given. They're ready, but we can't get access to it without clinical trials. And clinical trials to move forward, they're expensive to get the government to verify your study and say, yes, this is an approved drug. There's already been, I think, 6 children that have been treated through the first few phases of the clinical trial, and with really promising results, and showing great promise for this treatment. But all we need is to get through this final phase so that any kid can get this treatment. If their parents walk into the doctor's office and they get diagnosed, we want that to be not the dread that we had when they said, take him home and love him because we don't have any options for you. We want parents to be able to go home and say, it's all right, you have a treatment option. Now we can help you. And that isn't going to happen without families pushing the science forward.
Cade's about 3 now, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but the clock's ticking, right? I mean, this is a degenerative disease, so it's something that needs to happen quickly. Okay, well, there's the case. We just laid out the case for people listening to this. It's something that'd be incredibly worthwhile for people to be able to contribute to. So let's talk about some of the cool things you guys are doing, putting together. There's a walkathon happening, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, this community is unbelievable. I've never been happier to live somewhere in my life. Like, Juno is amazing. I grew up here, and I drug Dylan back here with me.
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
And we have a walkathon tomorrow that an incredible group of moms has put together. Man, moms are a force of nature, I tell you. It's amazing. And tomorrow from noon until 5, and the weather is so bad. This is an indoor event, guys. Come and have your kids burn off some energy and come do the walkathon.
So in the Mendenhall Mall?
In the Mendenhall Mall. Right. Yep, Mendenhall Mall. And it's going to be amazing. All the storefronts are contributing. There's a silent auction with incredible prizes. There's Alaska Seaplanes and Temsco tickets. There's artwork.
A bake sale. I'm excited about cinnamon rolls.
Oh yeah, very good.
They're so good.
I've signed up for. I'm worried about how many laps this kid's gonna do. I signed up for. So that's you can sign up.
And they're gonna get a stamp for every lap that they walk, so they've got incentive to keep walking. Right. So if nothing else, you need your kids to burn off some energy.
Yeah.
Come to the Mendenhall Mall, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be so much fun, and I think that just the amount of community support that we've received is so amazing, and to see everybody show up for Cade I'm so grateful.
There's also cureforcade.com, mm-hmm. right? Now, is that hooked into like a GoFundMe kind of a thing? Or was that what that is? Or
yeah.
It's, yeah. There's more.
There are different ways that people can donate. But yeah, we have a GoFundMe and that's where most people donate. And that mm-hmm. money goes directly to us. And we will use that money to treat Cade however we can, hopefully with this clinical trial. But there's also a nonprofit, 501c3, called Jack's Corner, who has been helping us. So any entities that wanted to donate for and get the tax benefits of donating to a nonprofit could donate there. And all those links are on the website.
On that Cure for Cade. And it's Cade is C-A-D-E. So mm-hmm. it's cureforcade.com. And right. And that's the place they'll find out all these different ways you can contribute. Yeah. Go to the Mendenhall Model Walkathon. You know, that's tomorrow, right? From 12 to noon. From noon to 5. Yeah, sorry, noon to 12 five. To noon. Yep. From noon to 5. And also, as you mentioned, silent auction, fun items. There's going to be live music. There's prizes, the bake sale, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All that's going to be great. Cade will be there.
Yep.
Right.
Yep,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
so come get walk to, with Cade. We walk at the Mendenhall Mall almost every day. So he's got a little bit of a fan club growing there.
So tell me about where he's at right now with his kind of condition. He has kind of a walker apparatus that he uses.
Yeah, he uses a posterior walker. It's just about the cutest thing you've ever seen. And you can recognize him by his little red walker. He does really well in it. He goes to therapy about 5 days a week. So we do physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. They're all incredible and huge support systems for us. But he's doing really good. And we just want to keep that progress going and we don't want to start to see him deteriorate.
A lot of work for a little kid to have to undertake every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know, so, it's awesome to meet you guys. Obviously, it's such a tough situation, but it's also awesome to see you tapping into the resources and the goodwill of people in Juneau who want to help and want to see this progress. And then hopefully this helps other people along the way as well. And, these clinical trials often find things that apply to other conditions that are out there as well, so that's a big benefit for this as well. It's kind of tough. You're stuck in the situation of, our healthcare system is a for-profit enterprise, right, in America and maybe in the world. This is tough because it's such a rare condition. But
absolutely.
But that makes it maybe that much more important to fight for. Thanks to both of you for coming in. Really appreciate it. And it was in my other hat. It was great as my seaplanes hat was able to contribute that as well.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Those seaplane tickets is going to.
Temsco,
I'm so excited.
Seaplanes, all these other places are coming together and contributing these items.
Oh, yeah. So there's some really good prizes.
Yeah,
we even really said like a Taco Bell run. If somebody wants to get Taco Bell delivered to them, that's one of the prizes. I'm not joking. There was like talk about Trader Joe's or IKEA run.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited.
Well, that's great. Marshalling the resources of Juneau. You can find out more about what we've been talking about on cureforcade.com. That's cureforcade, C-A-D-E.com. And if you want to just meet Cade and meet his great folks and all the people that are pulling for him and working for him, you can go to the Mendenhall Mall tomorrow from noon to 5. There's going to be a silent auction. There's going to be a walkathon. There's going to be live music, prizes, bake sale, the whole shebang. It's going to all be happening. It's going to be super fun. Well, thanks to both of you for coming. It was great to meet you and good luck to you. And we're all pulling for Cade and say hello to Cade for us.
We will do. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwanish George Davis. And the word this week is heen.
Heen.
That means water. And here is a sentence.
Heen chechnatif.
Get me a drink of water. Let's hear it again.
Heen.
Water. Gunesh Chisht, Hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Akhtain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di Men. He grew up in Kyrgyz, K Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K here at KTOO. I'm your host, Andy Klein. Well, mudrooms. That's coming up again, another season of mudrooms. And Taylor Beard and Ellen Winters Johnson is with us right now. So thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the interesting thing about mudrooms this year, it's always interesting, but you guys are kind of changing up the format a little bit and you're working in some workshops. So tell me, let's just talk about that right away. Like, go with the workshops. What's happening with those?
So we've always had workshops. But so the new format is going to be that in the past, we've had seven months of shows, seven storytellers, 7 minutes each. And we have come to find in the last few years that we have a very hard time getting storytellers. So every show, we find ourselves right up to the deadline and not have all our storytellers. And so we're realizing that we wanted to change the format just to see if this would work better or maybe prompt people to want to tell stories because they miss it. Because every person that I've told we're doing this, they're like, what? How dare you? And it's like, okay, you come and tell a story then. Because I would say that 99% of the people who come to our shows have never actually told a story. And they look at us horrified, like, what, you expect me to get up there and do what
right,
you just did?
Right.
I took the workshop last year,
yep,
and it's fantastic. I recommend it whether you want to be on stage to tell a story in the show or not. It's a great creative activity, personal discovery. Basically, there are a series of guided questions to help you think about where the stories might lie in your own life, what kind of story you'd like to tell, what makes an interesting story. And then you have a group of supportive people who are all starting at the beginning, just like you are, talking about the direction their story might go. And you get that feedback immediately in real time about what connects with people and what doesn't.
Yeah, because there's that whole thing, I'm sure people... I mean, I'm someone who, like, you know, is in front of people a lot. It doesn't really faze me too much to talk in front of mm-hmm. people. But I'm sure there's so many people that have great ideas, great stories, are great storytellers, you know, maybe among their personal group, maybe among their friends, or even just internally, mm-hmm. but haven't, you know, but that idea of stepping on stage is just going to block them right now. You know, they're just right. like, I can't quite get there.
I think people think of storytelling as something that some people can do and some people can't, but really it's just like anything else. It's practice. It's knowing how a good story comes together. And there are some easy little guideposts that even if you don't feel like you're a good storyteller, you can learn how to do it and become a great storyteller. I think everybody has a story to tell. Some of the most impactful stories I've ever seen or heard in person, on stage, in books, etc. Some of them are the small moments in life and how that feels to the person experiencing them.
That just goes for art in general, right? You know,
yeah.
Some of the most impactful art is about that exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So that's so the difference is.
So we will have a workshop in September. The first one is going to be the 15th at 3 p.m. So that's a Sunday at the Kunikiti Northern Lights United Church. And Skylar, who runs the workshop, she's wonderful. She does a really great job. So we're doing a workshop. It's kind of offset. So workshop, show, workshop, show, workshop, show. And with the idea that we're really hopeful that anybody who does want to tell a story is going to come to the workshops first. We, of course, we always do rehearsals before the shows, but the workshops are such a great way to just, the more you tell a story, the better the story is going to be. The more solid you're going to feel with it, the better the flow is going to be. And just beyond that, learning how to tell a story is such a great way to connect with people in your daily life, whether it's personal or business. With technology, we are losing that ability to connect with others because we're always on screens. And so this is a great way to keep that connection alive, to keep the folklore of life alive, is through storytelling.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense to just hone that skill, no matter whether you're intending to go do a mudrooms or not.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Well, very cool. Okay. So that's the workshops. Again, the first one's Sunday, September 15th, 3 p.m. Northern Light United Church. And you can sign up for that by going to mudrooms.org. Talk a little bit about the actual mudrooms, themes, things like that. Everyone always wants to know the themes that are coming up. What's happening in October?
So October will be our first show, and the theme is Bones, Stories of Stumbling Upon Dead Things, Foundations, Deep Dark Secrets, or Deeply Held Feelings. We have our December theme.
That's a good one.
Yes.
I like that one.
I'm excited about it. I think
because you could go very literal, or you could, you know, anyway, lots of interpretation there, which is always great.
Yeah, it could go a lot of different places.
Cool.
For December, our theme is going to be Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know, Stories of Overcoming Fears, Surprising Inner Strength, Unexpected Courage, or Personal Growth. In February, we have For the Love Of, Stories of Frustration, Passion, Acts of Kindness, or blank, you name it.
Okay.
And then our final show this year will be in March, First Time for Everything, Stories of First Adventures, New Beginnings, Facing Fears, Trying Something New, or Learning Important Lessons.
And you still couldn't use, there's still space in all of these. Is that right?
There's still space in all of these.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you already have some people lined up for a lot of them? Or
We have a few people lined up.
Right.
So because some people are, they'll look at the themes and be like, oh, I really want to tell something on that. Sure. Or in my instance, it's like, I guess I'm going to tell a story and somehow work this theme into my story because I don't have any. Yeah. When I did my sourdough theme, I was like, I don't bake sourdough. I don't know how to do this. So it's like, it's really, we try to keep the themes pretty loose because it's so many things can work. Right. But so there's people signed up for specific ones. Then some people wait until the week before and they're like, I totally want to do this. Yeah, so it's, we're trying to keep it pretty. Yeah.
Well, good. And the workshop, like you say, that should, hopefully that elicits more people thinking about it in different ways and these themes in different ways. Well, cool. And then the other thing that we always like talking about is who your nonprofit of choice is. You always choose very interesting different nonprofits through the years. This is Mudrooms, for those people who don't know, is a $7 suggested donation at the door, and that money all goes to a nonprofit.
Yes, our first beneficiary of the season for the October show will be Ghostlight Theater. And we really love what they're about. The name Ghostlight comes from the light that's left on stage to make sure everybody in the theater feels safe. And we like to think of Mudrooms as a very safe and welcoming place. I know getting up on stage and telling a personal story can be intimidating and a little scary, but the audience is there to see a good show, and they are rooting for you. They're on your side before they even open up your mouth. And
it's sort of like an open mic night, but without hecklers.
Yeah, exactly. And Ghostlight Theater, their name comes from this, you know, beacon of safety within the theater. Yeah. So we're very excited about that partnership. They do great shows. They're Juno's oldest theater. Mm-hmm. So
we're excited to have them. They had a great pitch to us, and it was like, how can we not? Of course, right. We're going to help you guys. So, yeah, our beneficiaries this season, we have, they get two shows each. We used to have it where with the seven, we could have more beneficiaries, but because we're taking this new approach, which may or may not change, we may go back to the original one. But it, again, it's hard to produce these shows every month with so many. There's so many moving parts, and we have only so many board members. So we're trying to figure out how to make this work and have it work well for everybody.
Well, any organization that's been operating for a number of years, there's a time when sustainability becomes a big discussion. Like, how do we keep this going?
Yep.
And, you know, you have to, you know, scheduling is often something that happens. But I think that's great. I think that, you know, scaling it back just a little bit in order to then have these other workshops and things like that happen as well. And I think that's great. It'll be great.
Part of our ethos or reason of being is community stories. We're not looking for necessarily professional style storytellers. We want to hear from people in the community about the moments in their life that they want to share. And it's a wonderful event where the whole community comes in out of the cold for the winter to share some live entertainment and go on a little journey together throughout the winter.
Well, that's Mud Rooms. And for anyone who's ever been, the way you just described it is very accurate. It's a wonderful thing to go to and just hear from the people in our community about tell amazing stories. There's always amazing stories told. You're also available on social media, all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram at Juno Mud Rooms. And mudrooms.org is the place you can go to sign up and find out about the workshops and find out about the themes and when all the shows are and all that stuff. And maybe sign up yourself if you're thinking about it to actually do a story.
Well, and I mean, if you are thinking about it and you're wondering what it, you know, we have the archives of 13 years of shows. And so you can cruise through them, see if you have any buddies who've told stories, listen to their stories. I mean, it's pretty extensive. And so I definitely recommend people at least go check it out.
Yeah.
Because if you just need something funny to listen to or something moving, like, you can find that. So please check us out.
All right. Well, Taylor and Ellen, thanks for coming in and telling us all about it. It's Mud Rooms, and you can find out more information about everything we've been talking about at mudrooms.org. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that's whiskey class. So good. All right. Well, coming up, it's First Friday. In fact, First Friday starts like basically now, like in 10 minutes.
Yep.
And we have two intrepid artists here nervous about getting over to their First Friday exhibit right now. It's Christine Carpenter and Hollis Kitchen. Thanks both of you for coming in. And your show is Pickles and Onions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about pickles and onions and what is going on.
Well, we like pickles and onions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah.
What more do we have to say? Yeah, is it self-explanatory? So you guys are doing, so you actually have created inks and dyes that are onion based.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me about that process.
So a process that I've been spending the last like year and year and a half, maybe almost 2 years, learning about is making natural dyes and pigments from all kinds of things, foraged finds, mushrooms, berries. And I have a show coming up that will be explore more of that in December. But this one I thought would be a good opportunity to just make pigments and inks from onions, yellow and red onions.
So how does that work? Is it the red? Is it the purpley red onion? Is that what you're talking about? Or is there some acid or something in the onion?
No, it's just the skin, and you boil it. Actually, you don't really want to boil it. You want to steep it for a while and then just reduce it down until it's super dark. And then you can paint with it. And the really fun thing about pigments and inks are that they don't always look the way that you'd think that they would look.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The red onions actually turn this like beautiful golden color, and the yellow onions are like an orangey color. But I also add some color shifters to them so you can get a variety of colors. And one of the pieces at the show shows all the different colors that you can get from the onions that I make.
Okay. So does this mean that your onions and your pickles?
Actually, we both did variations of pickles and onions all and right. kind of our interpretations. Mine are more interpretations of pickles and onions.
Yeah.
So some are a little more like still life, and then others.
Can we back up and just go, how did you decide on pickles?
Why not? It's pickles and onions. They're everywhere.
I'm not against it. You understand? I'm just wondering.
I can't remember. It was at some First Friday show last year.
It was ironically at Alaska Robotics.
It was, yeah. And I was wearing my pickle earrings that I had gotten from Glow Ramirez here in town.
Which we're both wearing tonight.
Yeah, we both have matching earrings. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I knew I had this show scheduled and was like, oh, we should do pickles and onions, because at the time we were sharing a studio space as well. And so, yeah, I was like, I just have this crazy idea because I love painting onions and I really love making pickles and painting random things like that, too. And so.
So when you say painting, so you're not painting. You're painting pictures of onions.
Yes, painting
still
pictures
lives.
Still lives.
Still lives.
Yeah. So one of my. Myself improvise like annual New Year's things I do is I paint the first painting of a year as an onion, or my first illustration of a year as an onion. And it's just something I started doing because I pretty much always have onions on hand. It's a fun challenge, just getting color matching. And
how long have you been doing that?
Oh gosh, 7 or 8 years now.
have you seen a you've seen a progression and all that?
It depends. Like sometimes I'll use like the same medium. So sometimes I'll just use watercolor. Sometimes I'll do like ink illustration. Sometimes I'll use gouache. Sometimes I'll use like handmade paper or other papers. Just
whatever you're into
just,
at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of. Yeah, and right. It's just kind of a low stress start.
Sure. That's an onion.
Exactly.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, it's pretty easy to tell that it's an onion. Like, I mean, like onions are really unique in the, like they are, but they're also identifiable. So they're fun to paint because they're not that.
And then pickles. Let's talk about the pickles. So now, are they dill? Are they spears?
Yes.
Are they gherkins?
Yes.
No, all of it.
Yeah, I am. One of them isn't technically pickles.
Does relish count?
I don't think we did.
We didn't do relish. Okay. No, I mean, we could have gone even further and done like hamburgers and stuff too, but we just did pickles.
Sometimes they're sliced up pickles, mm-hmm. little rounds of pickles. Yeah. Sometimes they're the whole pickle. Sometimes it's all of it in one. I know. I'm so excited. Did you do pickles with the onion paint?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
How do you get the green pickle with the onion? How do you do that?
You
have pickle earrings, by the way, I'm noticing just now.
They're glow. It's amazing. Glow Ramirez makes
these. Oh, they're very cool.
Yeah, glow ink,
So that was sort of a little bit of the thing, right? Did these earrings bring you together to this idea?
Okay. Yeah, because I wore them and your husband was like, oh, don't tell Christine you have those because she wants those.
Oh. You bought them for me for Christmas, this was before Christmas, so I didn't know that I had them, and he lied to me and told me that...
He's a sneaky one. Aaron Searing. He is sneaky.
And I saw Hollis, and I thought she only had like one pair of them, and I was like, oh man, you're the one that got the pickle earrings. I'm so jealous. And then I opened up on Christmas pickle earrings. So it was very exciting. But it was very thoughtful. So Hollis kept the secret
green paint,
too.
And little did you know it would lead to this first Friday in September.
Yeah.
Randomly pickles. So you were about to say like how you do the green. How do you bring out green in the onion dye? Onion, is it paint or dye?
It's ink.
Ink. Okay. Ink.
So there's different color shifters that you can use when you use inks or pigments or paints that'll change.
Like chemically?
Yeah. In the show, I use iron, copper, soda ash, which is like washing soda, and citric acid. And they'll all turn the original paint a different color. And I discovered that copper added to the red onion dye turns like a green color.
Oh, very cool.
You can come see all the different colors.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
I'm not backing out this time.
Well, also, we wanted to make sure you knew that there will be fun snacks, too.
Yes. Pickle and onion-themed snacks.
Yeah. Of course.
But not just a bunch of raw onions sitting out, right? No, delicious, amazing. Caramelized?
I made a bunch of caramelized onions. I made some pickled spruce tips.
Okay.
And... Pat picked up some other pickles and there's like sour cream and onion chips, I think.
And I think some dips and stuff. Yeah. So it'll be fun. Yeah.
Be good. Sounds like a healthy affair.
We put in requests because normally they just have a giant block of Gouda that Pat says they shave off every month. And I'm like, ooh, that's gross. Can we do something nicer, please?
I suspected as much, but now it's confirmed. So I would say, though, you probably want to eat a little something before chowing down on just pickles and onions. But
oh, man.
I think you should just do it. Just come
go for it.
Yeah.
That's how you recommend it.
I mean, Amalka's right across the way. You can come.
It's like a different version of charcuterie.
How cool of a space is this, too? The Alaska Robotics Gallery is such an amazing space. Well, you are largely responsible for the vision of what that space looks like and the ability for people to have art hanging up in that space.
Yeah, it was a really fun project, and Pat and Aaron were really kind and let me come in and help and organize it. I mean, it is their vision. I was just there to help facilitate that and make it happen for them. But I'm really pleased with how the space turned out, and I'm really glad that they have so much more wall space. Selfishly, as an artist, that might have been one of the themes with which I wanted to make sure that those walls.
Well, it was challenging because one of the things that makes that space so great is that there's all these windows.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, where do we hang the art?
Yeah.
So that one wall that you have now featured that is a natural way to flow into this area. And then it's such a great space because it's like just becomes a natural gathering space for people. It doesn't feel crowded even when there's a lot of people in there. Well, all right. We're running out of time, but anyway, this is what's going on. It's First Friday. You guys got to jam out of here. This thing's starting in a half hour. So it's all happening over at the Alaska Robotics Gallery. You guys know where that is. It's over by Imago Distillery across from the Baranoff. It's happening starting in about a half hour this Friday. This is First Friday. Here we are. And it's Christine Carpenter and Hollis Kitchen sharing new original artwork in their show, Pickles and Onions.
Yum.
Yum. Well, thanks so much to both of you for coming in. Great to talk to you as always and have an awesome show. And I will see it. I'll be over there.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going to come see it.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
Andy. Here's a little more whiskey class. And Christine was just mentioning as she was leaving the studio that will be up all month in the Alaska Robotics Gallery. So you have got a whole month to go check it out. But go tonight to First Friday as you head around to all the great things happening on First Friday. And enjoy our wonderful city on this Friday, rainy Friday in September. Go inside and have fun with friends. That's going to do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at KTOO.org, and rebroadcast on this station at 7 p.m. For more information on the show or to listen to past shows, go to kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Boston Christopher is our producer. We had help today from Aaron Tripp. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks for joining the conversation. Have a great weekend, everyone.